Allison Parker joins us now on the phone. She's the Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch's U.S. program based in San Francisco. She has expertise in immigration law and youth incarceration. Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
So reports say that on any given day, there are more than 30,000 immigrants in detention centers in the U.S. Some are asylum seekers, victims of trafficking, survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence. There are also many children. Why is all of this problematic?
Well, it's problematic because the people you describe are ones who have already been victims of human rights abuse. For example, asylum seekers are people who are fleeing persecution in their home countries. Or the people you've described are uniquely vulnerable, such as children. What human rights law requires is that these populations should be detained only if it's absolutely necessary, and detention should really only be used as a last resort. The other reason it's a problem is that sometimes the experience of detention can actually exacerbate psychological harms that these people have endured previous to their time in detention. So it's really not a good idea.
What are some of the more serious rights abuses faced by people in immigration detention centers?
The rights abuses can really run the gamut. We have seen in the past, particularly after September 11th, actual physical abuse, people who were beaten by guards in detention centers. In one instance, beaten so hard against a cement wall that the wall itself was bloody when investigators went in. There have also been instances in which female immigrants have been subjected to sexual violence in detention. Other problems are more systemic and have to do with the fact that in many cases, immigrants are held in facilities that were intended to house people who've been convicted of crimes. So, for example, state prisons and jails. The personnel who work in those facilities are familiar with dealing with people who perhaps have violent tendencies, and those facilities are set up to house people who are being punished. But immigrants aren't being punished. They are, in some cases, going through hearings about whether or not they have the legal right to be in the United States. But the treatment that they endure on a day-to-day basis is treatment that is much more punitive than what they should have given their status as people who are not criminals. Another set of abuses relate to the conditions under which they're held and their need for medical care. We've seen in recent years literally hundreds of deaths in immigration detention because there just isn't enough attention being paid to the medical needs that this population has. And finally, another thing that we've been researching at Human Rights Watch is the fact that detainees are actually transferred between detention centers, sometimes in the middle of the night with no notice. And what this does is it separates the detainee from the community that he or she used to live in, and often separates them from their attorney, from witnesses in their case, and really makes the whole process of their appearance in immigration court extremely difficult. The deck is stacked against them in the sense that they have no way to access their attorney sometimes, no way to bring witnesses in. And so these transfers between this vast network of centers across the country can really wreak havoc in non-citizens' rights to have a fair day in court.
So what are some pragmatic solutions then to family detention centers?
There are many solutions, and in fact, some are already being used by the federal government. And all of the research that has been done on these alternatives to detention have shown that they have very important success rates. So in order to understand them, we just have to take a quick step back, and that is ask, why are all these immigrants in detention to begin with? And the reason is because the government, the United States government, believes in each of their cases that for whatever reason, and there are many reasons under our immigration laws, these people don't have a legal right to be in the United States. And that means that they have to go through an immigration procedure where they may ultimately be deported. What the government says is, in order to ensure that these people appear at those hearings, we have to put them in detention, because otherwise they will have an incentive to run away, to abscond, to try to hide. What alternative to detention programs do is that they provide an incentive for the immigrant to show up for his or her trial and court appearances. Some of them involve posting a bond so that the person has a financial incentive to come to the court proceedings. In other cases, the government has piloted projects with community organizations who, in some sense, essentially sponsor the immigrant. Say, we vouch for this person. We will make sure that this person shows up at the trial. And sometimes that means they provide transport, or they just keep track of the individual by requiring them to come in, stop by their offices, and report regularly. What we've seen is that these projects are very successful. They guarantee that people will show up at their court hearings, but they don't require costly incarceration. And so we believe these are the pragmatic solutions that should be put in place instead of the vast network of detention centers that currently exist.
Allison Parker, Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch's U.S. program, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It was a pleasure to be with you.